Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 The Ticket, Jamie and Stoney, and we are joined by a 12-year major leaguer, now an analyst on the MLB Network, Billy Ripken. He's got a book out, State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball. And Bill Ripken joins us now here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Bill, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Good to be back in Detroit. I know your long major league career had kind of an unceremonious end here in the Motor City.
Well, I think whatever happened in 98 with the Tigers, and we were there, well, I didn't think I was necessarily doing anything wrong that day, but I think they wanted to go into a different direction. So I remember halfway through the season, I went into Buddy's office, Buddy Bell, and kind of had a little conversation with him, and he says, yeah, I believe you're going to get released tomorrow in New York. It was a Sunday day game, Monday off day, so we were flying to New York. And I said, buddy, I don't want to go to New York and get released. Goes, well, then I could probably do it right now if you wanted to, but this is the conversation that's going on in the front office. I said, well, if you could feel the power, you got to do it. I'm not going to quit, so you can release me. So I went home halfway through the year, and I was 33 years old. I was sitting on my deck for the first time in the middle of the summer with no worries of going to the ballpark and playing a game. And I said, this isn't the worst thing that's ever happened to me. This might be okay.
You were hitting 270, but of course, batting average, you know, we thought that was more important back then. But you had a decent season.
Well, I still like batting average in today's game, too, because I believe that more good comes out of hits than out of walks. So we can have conversation that swirls around on base percentage a little bit. But there are certain times where managers of the other team like to walk people and put them on base because they're fear of them getting hits and driving in runs. Oh, which is ribbies is still another one of my stats that I like, and all these things are in the book. Yeah, but I thought I was doing okay. The year turned out really different than what I expected from the spring training days on out of Detroit to halfway through, but it is what it is.
I actually remember a story, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but I was down in Lakeland that year covering spring training, and you guys were doing a drill, which I think was essentially 27 outs. You had to make 27 clean plays, and then the drill was over, and you got to 26, and Buddy was hitting batting practice or hitting infield, and you called for the ball, and you said something along the lines of, hit that white piece of blank to me, and he hit it at you, and I think you made an error.
I booted it, and there was a Buddy was big on the 27-out drill, and it wasn't just 27 outs. It was 27 things done right.
Yeah.
So if there was a base hit, like Buddy was hitting the fungos, if there was a base hit, pitcher had to back up a base.
Gotcha.
If there was a
okay.
man on first, yeah. all these kind of things. So we kept rebooting back to zero because Buddy was getting annoyed. So finally, when we got to the 26 plays in a row that were good, Buddy said, okay, who wants it?
Yeah.
And everybody was kind of paused. And I said, well, kind of the way you described it, yeah, I'll be brash and do it. But I did the next one, too, because we went back to zero after I booted it. And when it happened at the 26th again, I said, same kind of stuff, give it to me. And we went from there. We took care of it after that. But it was a fairly long little session right there.
Yeah, I remember that. Anyway, Billy's on with us to talk about his book, State of Play. And you kind of referenced it when talking to Stoney about the batting average. And I love it because it is a counter, because it almost feels like your voice is getting drowned out by the new baseball. And I can only imagine you and Brian Kinney must fist fight in the MLB studios because he's as new school as it gets. But, you know, we had Jim Leland here for 10 years and he's with you. He goes, I, for the life of me, do not understand why the RBI is no longer a valued stat. And Stoney and I are right there with you on that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, and here's the reason why I put this book out there, because it just seemed like with this past few years gone by with more and more conversation swirling around the new school, it almost seemed like people now just assume that old school baseball guys just threw the bats and balls out on the field and said, go get them. And you referenced Jimmy Leland. If you give Jimmy Leland information that's useful to Jimmy Leland, he uses it. But if in nowadays game, if you give me some like garbage information, like try to tell me that somebody's DRS is X, and I discount it because I can kind of talk about things in a baseball common sense way, if I don't agree with it, all of a sudden now I'm old school, I'm rigid, I'm unwilling to conform to today's game. And let's be very clear. The team that hits it, pitches it, and catches it better than the other team still wins today, just like they did in the 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s.
Right.
And the way I look at it is, that, you know, there's some good new school stuff, and some of the old school stuff is outdated, but it should be a morph. Can you explain to the listener, because I can't do it, even though I believe it's important, what exactly is WAR, or how they get to the total in WAR?
Well, I can't tell you because that formula is locked up behind closed doors somewhere. And then at the end of the year, we come out with this number. Look, I don't need a number at the end of Mike Trout's name to tell you he's the best player in the game. To quote Christopher Russo, watch the game. And if you watch the game, you'll see the stuff that he does is better than everybody else. But the WAR is very interesting to me because wins above replacement and the way it was defined originally, their definition, the people that actually compute this stuff, kind of said something. If a guy is a five-win player and the team basically won 100 games, the way it was defined to me was, okay, without that guy for the year, they would have won 95. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either. And one of my points in the book I wrote, in 2015, I believe the Red Sox sent Jackie Bradley Jr. down to the minor leagues four times during that year. And at the end of the year, he had like a two WAR, two wins above replacement. And by very definition, he replaced himself. So was he a wins above Jackie Bradley Jr.? So I really don't know how it happens. And like I said, when it's locked up behind closed doors, I've got access to the best researchers in the game up at the network. And I could watch a week's worth of play and say, hey, what did that do to his WAR? And they would say, well, I don't know. I go, no, you can tell me. No, I can't. I can't tell you. It's locked up. So, you know, and different sites compute it different ways. So there's discrepancies right. even between certain branches of the new school on which number is more accurate than the other one.
We're talking to Billy Ripken, State of Play, the old school guide to new school baseball, where he talks about some of the stats he likes and doesn't like and how the new school has affected the game. You know, we're here in Detroit where the Tigers obviously have been kind of bad for the last couple of years and they're not going to be very good again this year. So attendance is down, interest is down. But league-wide, do you ever get the feeling that the numbers, the oversaturation of the numbers, is hurting the game at all in terms of fan interest? I mean, we always talk about the length of games, et cetera, but do you think the overabundance of stats maybe takes away from the sport a little bit?
And I think it's kind of how we're using it because, you know, any given day on the video board during a game, you see some numbers get put up on the board. And I have friends that like baseball or into baseball, and they'll ask me, like, what is that? And then I try to start explaining it, and the look on their face kind of goes kind of crazy. So in the book, I point out I'm still a counting guy. Because I think it's fair to say if a guy hits 30, hits 300, drives in 100, I can pretty much say he had a pretty good year.
Yeah.
And the idea of the different numbers that are being used nowadays, I refuse to use weighted, created, or adjusted because there are three things that actually by definition mean this is not real. So when we start putting non-real numbers into the game, trying to make some comparisons of yesteryear to now, or even ballpark to ballpark, there's just too many factors that have to enter into baseball's world that just kind of screams, we can't spit all this information, put all this information into a computer and spit out one number and let's roll with it.
I never knew what a pitch tunnel was till a couple of years ago.
Well, the tunnel's interesting to me because here's the other thing that I kind of make reference to in the book is, everything that's now named or measured seems like it's brand spanking new. The tunnel's nothing more than multiple pitches coming out of the same spot where the pitcher threw the ball. Oh, that sounds like Greg Maddux. Greg Maddux threw the fastball changeup out of the same spot so often and so well that one did one thing and the other did the other. And that's just the mere definition of tunneling. So if Greg Maddux was pitching today, somebody would have like a crown on his head with tunnel written across it because he would be the king of tunnels. So it's now discussed because, and once we use the term once in today's game, the rampantness that it accelerates through, like launch angle, was the word that was used probably 15 times during every broadcast that's ever happened since the first time somebody said launch angle.
Yeah, I think it was J.D. Martinez that ruined that for everybody. What we're talking to Billy Ripken. The book is State of Play, the Old School Guide to New School Baseball. He also works for the MLB Network. Bill, everyone's talking about the Astros, and it's a thing that won't go away. It does feel like there's now the blowback against them is so severe that it's almost like baseball's made up of 29 teams of absolute angels and then one team of bad guys. Like, do you feel like it's the blowback is now a little bit too severe, or do you think it's justified?
I think there's something that's justifiable about it, but what you just said, I kind of chuckled because I'm sitting here listening to people come out of the woodwork and make comments, and I'm thinking, going, look, guys, there's a glass house that you've lived in somewhere. So
yeah,
let's not
chuck
that rock.
Right.
And I agree with you because the more you start talking about this, and I think that's just a part of the game that's kind of a little bit adapted over the years, is everybody feels like they have to use their voice. My father would tell my brother that went out there and played 4 billion games in a row, go about your business, do what you do, and let everybody else worry about themselves, you know, on the other side of things. Let them do all that kind of stuff. You go out and do that. And he also told that to me. I just didn't have the ability or the endurance to play 4 billion games in a row. But it's just amazing to me that now with the social media out there and Twitter and everything else, these dudes love getting out there and putting what they think out there. But I agree with you. Not every one of us that's played this game is an angel. And when you start talking, the baseball gods seem a way to figure that out.
Final thing, you mentioned your brother. Does he realize that if he would have played for Sparky or even Leland, there's no way he would have had that streak because they always believed in giving guys days off, the Sunday day off, the getaway game day off?
You know, I don't know. I remember Big Seth, Big Daddy was in Detroit one time. I think he had a pretty decent streak going at one time. He even told me at first, he goes, man, he won't give me a day off. So you never know where that is. It's funny because the way the manager, and you mentioned some guys that certainly were in control, you know, Junior came up to the big leagues and opening day, I think he had a homer and went 3 for 5. And then he went something ridiculous, like 6 for 60. In his next 60 at-bats, and there was some clamoring about sending him down, and Earl Weaver at the time said, no, this is the guy that I want. Everything is going to be right. So who knows if he would have come up in today's world, and there might not have been a manager that definitely had as much control as, shall we say, Earl Weaver did or Sparky Anderson did, if Junior's career would have unfolded the way it did. So it's just kind of fun to look back on that and talk about the differences between the managing office, I guess, in today's game.
The book is State of Play, the Old School Guide to New School Baseball. The author, Bill Ripken, of the MLB Network, and he have a 12-year major league career. Billy, great to have you on. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, boys. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. There he is, Bill Ripken, joining us here on 97.1 The Ticket.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.